Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. Michael Lindenbaum here along with Bernie Diehl, and as always, you can listen to us on WBGRSports.com, on the WBGR app, which you can get through iTunes and through Google Play, and of course, you can watch us live on Facebook Live on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. And real quick, we do want to apologize to those from last week who were expecting to see us on Facebook Live. We're on live stream. We are now back on Facebook Live. We thank you guys for coming back, and we greatly apologize for that inconvenience from last week. And with that, Mr. Bernie.
Seriously, 1 month in the books already, Michael.
I know.
Show number five. Five, great to be alive. April Fool's Day. Make sure.
Right, Langba.
On your, yes, indeed. Greatest, one of the greatest capitals of all time. And make sure, with April Fool's Day, make sure you check twice on anything you see all over the social media world. Man, I look great on small screens and big screen, but yeah, that's besides the point. We got some serious talk, and we got a serious guest today, too.
Yes, a little later today, on this episode, we'll actually be joined by George from Nova Caps Fans.
Really enjoy their work. Nova Caps do a lot of stuff, and pretty much covers the entire gamut of the Capitals organization. They have a series of reporters, one dedicated to Hershey, I think Julie Biedler is her name. George does his What the Foose. I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. John Swanson,
I think his name. Yeah.
Really good insight on the Caps. It's a really good page to check out if you are a hardcore, diehard Caps fan.
Yes, and you know, we'll be talking to George about the potential playoff picture that we're about to have. We're actually writing down some standing stuff, you know, potential playoff scenarios that can happen. Obviously, in the Western Conference, they have one spot left in the Western Conference, and that's a wild card spot. And in the East, you still have three spots open.
A gaggle of contenders, to say the least. LA's hanging by the slimmest of threads, and unless Nashville goes into complete combustion mode, I think we know our eight teams out west. We just don't know the matchups out west, which are still some very interesting possibilities.
And, you know, speaking of out west, that's where the Caps have been. You know, they played Arizona twice. We don't really want to talk about last
time. No, the Arizona sandwich didn't taste very good.
But we got three victories out of the four games, which is a good thing. And, you know, we're looking at a couple of things, and one thing I've noticed is that, you know, for the Capitals, their power play has been clicking. Like, against Arizona in the first game, they went 1-for-4 on their power play, and that was a good sign for them. I'm trying to field through thousands of notes, because I know that a couple of their power plays was really...
Minnesota game.
Minnesota, they were 3-for-4.
Yep, and Alex Ovechkin the first time he scored a hat trick with all power play goals.
And then, of course, against Colorado, 2-for-3. And you can say that, essentially, that Arizona game was that kickstart, because they went 1-for-4, then they went 3-for-4, then they went 2-for-3. You know, that percentage that you're seeing on the power play right there, that's what we've been needing to see. You know, you always want to get at least one every game, but to get 2 to 3 a game, that's even better.
And credit to what we were talking about on our inaugural show when we were talking about the trade deadline, what Kevin Shattenkirk, no disrespect to John Carlson, no disrespect to Matt Niskanen, but what Kevin Shattenkirk brings to you on the top of that power play is an element this team has not had since Mike Green, where he can get shots shot blockers. He can get OV's sweet spot with the one-timer. I mean, you see that on the three power play goals, three different power play goals by Ovechkin on Tuesday night against Minnesota. And the pass at Marcus Johansson, you see little wrinkles you haven't seen out of this power play in a while. Marcus Johansson making a pass from behind net out to Shattenkirk at the top of the point, skipping Backstrom. You rarely see that pass go that way. So there's little wrinkles that are starting to be shown as we're getting closer to playoff time. And it's crazy, Michael, that we're only 9 days left in the regular season.
It's crazy. And, you know, one thing, you know, we're talking about how great it is that the power play is now clicking, but there are still levels of concern.
Ooh, yes.
you know, last night the Washington Capitals had 48 shots. I didn't get to see the game because I was out doing something with a friend that I haven't seen in a while. And I was coming home and I asked her, hey, can you check the score? Because she happened to be a Penguins fan, so she was looking at that Penguins-Rangers score. And I asked her, how are the Caps doing? She was like, well, the Caps outshot Arizona 48-27, and they lost 6-3. And the first thing that came to my mind was, they weren't taking quality shots.
Arizona only had 9 shots the last 2 periods of the game. It was a comedy, it was errors. It was unforced errors at the wrong times. Braden Holtby got pulled after 3 goals. And credit to Barry Trotz, he put him back in at the beginning of the second period. And I was texting with a couple guys, a couple sources in the D.C. area that is are very up on their Caps as well. And it was similar to how Tampa Bay pulled Andre Vasilevsky a couple games ago against Chicago. It was 4-1 Blackhawks. They pulled Vasilevsky, brought him back in at the beginning of the next period, and it gave Tampa Bay that surge to get back in the game, tied it at 4, and actually won it in overtime on a Gordy short 3-on-3 goal. And you saw similar aspects of that last night. They came out, they got the power play goal after Tom Wilson with a beautiful open ice hit that caused Oliver Ekman-Larsson to take umbrage with it and retaliate with a cross check, the only power play the Caps had that game. Then you had them crashing the net, Daniel Winnick, career high in goals with his 12th of the season, 3-2, everything was fine. Questionable call on TJ Oshie, Caps got on the PK, and then one of our biggest bugaboos, the Caps like to pass it backwards.
Yeah, the slingshot.
This was a shorthanded slingshot of disaster. Jay Beagle's in the upper corner in the offensive end, and the rest of the team started line changing. Beagle tried to pass it back to defense. The only guy that got the puck was Christian Dvorak. And Mr. Dvorak, one of the many young studs that Arizona has on that team, 52 goals last year with London in the OHL, made no mistake coming in on Braden Holtby and turning that game completely around with an unassisted power play goal to make it 4-2.
Now, I want to throw this out there. In the first game against Arizona, in the third period alone, while at the end of the game the Caps outshot Arizona 33-29, Arizona outshot them 15-7 in that third period. In that game, Arizona went 0-4 on the power play, the Caps were 1-4. In the game last night, the Caps outshot Arizona 48-25. Caps were 1-for-1 on the power play, and Arizona was 2-for-2 on their power play.
Both of them were breakdowns, and like I said, the one was the Jay Beagle pass to Dvorak as the D was changing, and then the second one, Domi comes into the zone, and Niskanen and Orpik were puck-watching while Burmistrov got behind him, and a nice little saucer pass by Domi. There's no reason why Burmistrov should be between your two defensemen and Braden Holtby on a rush.
And then, let's move to the Minnesota game, which went into overtime. In the third period alone, the Washington Capitals were outshot 10-3 by Minnesota in that third period. And albeit, of those 3 shots that the Caps made in that period was Ovechkin's hat trick goal on the power play. So that's a little alarming. I mean, yeah, 3 shots, 1 goal, that's good. But at the same time, 10 shots, 2 goals for Minnesota in that third period.
Yeah, and adding it up, I think it was brought up on a television broadcast last night, and I'll add it up to make it current. I think it's 11-4. They've been outscored 5-on-5 in the last 3 games. That's not good. Just little plays to try to get the puck out of the zone. Dmitry Orlov and Matt Niskanen have struggled in their own end recently. You see some struggles with Orpik and Shattenkirk at times. I still have a little concern, especially after playing a very taxing game Tuesday night in Minnesota that went to overtime, that and then you're going to Colorado with altitude on a back-to-back. It's the second time in 3 years that Barry Trotz has coached his team that they've had Colorado in the second half of back-to-back, and he's not made any changes to the lineup. It's not an aspect of penalizing anyone taking it on a lineup. It's you want a couple of guys in there with some fresh legs, especially playing at altitude where you have to really be cognizant of your shifts. you need to be taking 30-second shifts, 40-second shifts max. It's a different animal when you're playing in Colorado. And to a lesser extent, I've heard also Calgary has the elevation as well, where you have to be very mindful of how long you're out on the ice. You need to really be able to play more of a team game, more of a chip and chase game, especially with the Colorado game, Michael. They tried to play more of a finesse game because they played such a physical game the night before, and it actually cost them because they didn't simplify their attack.
But real quick, Bernie, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we should have George from
the Catfoose.
Yep. So we'll be right back from the break.
Yeah, that happens because the radio's still on. So we just go to commercial break.
Have we gotten a calling yet from George or not yet?
Good start.
Yeah, our Facebook live feed cut out.
Yeah, what happened to yours then? And then this one didn't go out.
Yeah, it went out at one point.
Attention film lovers, X-75 Productions presents its debut film, Cosplay Life. Cosplay Life is about Wes and Julie who meet at a speed dating event, then start dating.
You should be here. Are you hearing the commercials?
Wes, but she's a cosplayer. They both go through the twist.
Yeah, I don't hear anything, so.
You don't hear anything?
No, I hear something. I just don't hear the white.
Don't hear us.
Yeah.
You should hear the commercials.
Answer the question clearly. He asked you if you heard the commercials.
Yeah,
do you love going to the conventions? Then listen to the experience. Join host Michael Lindenbaum as he travels to conventions and talks to artists, writers, and celebrity guests, plus so much more. For more information, please visit facebook.com/X75Productions. Attention film lovers, X-75 Productions presents to you its debut film, Cosplay Life. Cosplay Life is about Wes and Julie who meet at a speed dating event, then start dating. After Julie reveals to Wes that she is a cosplayer, they both go through the twists and turns that come at them from both friends and family. For more information and to watch Cosplay Life, visit facebook.com/cosplaylifefilm.
Things they used to have, the Caps, one of their bread and butter plays was Backstrom winning the draw to Ovechkin with a one-timer off of the face-off into the net.
All right. And so, it sounds like we have George now.
Indeed.
All right. George, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome, George. I'm Michael. Bernie, say hi.
Welcome, George. It's a pleasure to have you on board the experience today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so what we were talking about in the last segment, how the Caps have been, how the Caps did this past week. Obviously, shots have been an issue. Last night, they had 48 shots, but none of them truly being quality chance shots on net, which is normally the case when you take 48, almost 50 shots on goal in a game. We're also talking about how good the power play has been for the Caps now. In this past week, leading up to a very big week for the Capitals to end the season, what's the one thing that concerns you the most right now?
What's the one thing that what?
Concerns you the most.
Disturbs me?
Concerns, yeah.
I think just the mental lapse of the game. I think the Capitals tend to zone out sometimes, and for whatever reason, they just have these mental lapses during games. And, I mean, look at last night, for example. The Capitals, you know, I guess they thought they could, you know, waltz right into Arizona and, you know, maybe play for about 40 or 50 minutes. Guess what? It doesn't really work in this league. You have to be able to play right off the bat, and you have to beat teams, especially inferior teams like Arizona. You have to come out ready to play because, you know, Arizona is a young team, they're a hungry team, and you have to match their effort because a lot of these guys, especially for Arizona, you know, they're competing for jobs next year, and they're trying to impress their coaching staff, and, you know, they, a lot, some of those guys are trying to stay on their roster. So I think the Capitals' main issue sometimes is playing down to the level of their opponent, and last night was a perfect example of that. And, you know, they got down early, you know, they had a horrible, you know, first 12 minutes of the game, and they weren't able to climb out of the early deficit they got in. They tried in the second period, but then once again they also got in a little bit of penalty trouble. So the Caps just have to play from the start, and they have to avoid those mental lapses during games.
Now, I understand, I almost piggyback at George with the Colorado game a little bit, too. It's almost like they tried to play more of a finesse style of game the last two nights, mainly because of this schedule being five games and eight nights. But, like you mentioned, you can't take a day off in the National Hockey League. Arizona has so many good, young, talented players. Clayton Keller didn't even get a jersey last night. I mean, that team in two or three years is going to be one of those teams that's going to be knocking on the door of the conference finals again. If they can get the maybe one or two more pieces of defense on the blue line. My question is, with the way this team is constructed, and how everything in general, you mentioned the mental lapses. I think there comes a time where when you play in Arizona that you could have jumbled some stuff up last night and just try to see if maybe something different would work to get that team motivated. Do you think maybe with the condensed schedule, the lack of practice time is hurting this with the little mental lapses of the game, the little simplification of the game at times?
Absolutely. I think the condensed schedule does hurt the team a little bit, but I think it's one of those things, too, where a lot, you know, all the teams this year have a condensed schedule. I mean, everybody's going through it. Everybody's going through the bye weeks, too, which is kind of only making things worse. The Caps just—I don't know what it is—but they just tend to tune out a game sometimes, and I don't know if it's necessarily one person, you know, in particular, or you know, just—I don't know if it's preached by the coaching staff or not by a lot. But the Caps just need to find a way to focus, and they need to find a way to have the complete effort every night to give 60 minutes. I know it's tough. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. They're used to this kind of stuff and with the schedule and everything, but they just have to find a way to zone in because the Capitals have a bullseye on their back every night. They are the team to beat around the league, and teams like Arizona especially, they want to come at them and they want to compete hard with them because Arizona basically right now has nothing really to play for. They're playing for pride. They're playing for jobs. The Caps just have to know that in the back of their mind, and they have to match their level of intensity.
Now, with that said, in this final, you know, week for the Washington Capitals, you play Columbus tomorrow, who's battling for playoff or for a spot in the Metropolitan Division. You have Toronto on the 4th, who's battling with Boston for that third spot in the Atlantic Division. Also, you can include the second spot in with Ottawa. You got the Rangers this week, who has the wild card locked up, and then you have Boston, who also, as I just mentioned, is battling for a spot, and then you have Florida. Florida's out of the playoff picture, so they're probably obviously going to be playing the role of spoiler. What is, to you, the biggest key for the Capitals these next four games against playoff teams or potential playoff teams and against Florida?
The Caps just have to show effort, and they have to compete better than they did on this past little road trip right here. They cannot go into these games, especially against Columbus and Toronto and Boston, because some of these teams are still fighting for playoff spots. They cannot go in and expect to have a bad first period or a bad third period like they did the other night in Minnesota. They cannot go in to those games and give a bad effort. They have to match the intensity because these teams are going to be coming at them because teams like Toronto, they're playing for home ice. And they want home ice in the first round, and they're a young, hungry team. The Caps have to just match their level of effort. And Columbus, John Tortorella is going to have that team ready to play. They played a tight game with the Capitals last week, and the Capitals have kind of been wishy-washy when they visited there, so the Caps just have to go in there and just give effort. And they're playing against Sergei Bobrovsky, who arguably has been one of the best goaltenders this year and probably in line for the Vezina Trophy. The Caps have to score a lot of goals. They're going to have to score some goals, and they're going to have to, you know, play a little bit grittier and get those dirty goals against Bobrovsky.
Now I'll go back to Tuesday night, and I want to bring up a great site you guys have at NovaCaps. I love some of the articles that you guys present, and Julie does a great job on the Hershey Beat, and John does a great job overall with all his articles. But I always love reading What the Foose, and one pretentious little gray area that hit a lot of Caps fans' nerves Tuesday night was a certain offside call. And for those that didn't read your take on it, George, could you please give the fans a little take, your take on it from your article you wrote this week?
I mean, the offside play in the Minnesota game, it was very close. The Caps, well, they didn't have a good third period, which didn't help the situation, but I believe Minnesota, their goal to tie it up within the last 30 seconds of the game was pretty blatantly offside. I think they exited the zone, and I believe it was Jason Zucker didn't get back and tag up, and essentially from there they got the goal and they reviewed it, and it was clear as day that Zucker was still off and still hadn't tagged up from all the camera angles. And you know, if you watch Craig Laughlin and Joe Bennett and I talk about it the other night, they basically saw the same thing I did, and I think it was a goal that probably shouldn't have counted, but it did. And well, the good thing for the Caps is it did cost them. TJ Oshie got the game winner in overtime, but you know, Minnesota got a point out of the deal. And yeah, this thing is it's becoming a recurring theme almost every night in the NHL. You're seeing more and more offside reviews or goaltender interference reviews, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens come playoff time if there's a situation where there could be a game seven and an overtime on the line. One team is going to be very happy with the result, and one team's going to go home highly disappointed. There could be one of those situations that possibly happens. It's happening every night, and the calls are still a little bit inconsistent for my liking. And you know, it's just troubling to see sometimes that they can completely botch a pretty clear-cut view, if you ask me.
I completely agree with you, George. The gray area in the rule book is mind-boggling, to say the least. And with that play in concern, a similar play happened a week and a half before that in the Colorado-Chicago game that completely turned that game around, where Jonathan Toews was curling back onside like Zucker was, and Richard Panik was dribbling the puck ahead of him, and they had pretty much the same rule, where it was inconclusive, saying that the puck technically was in the zone and no one touched it until Toews tagged up, similar to Tuesday night. And it's almost like you have to determine whether he had complete possession or did he have partial possession, did he have no possession. It's just I share your concern on the matter that this could cost a team a playoff series, especially in a Game 7. They need to get the referees some better visual aids when it comes to the little tablets. I don't think does quite the good a job.
But, don't you find it real interesting with how we have like HD, 4K, and all this stuff? When they show zoom up on a replay, it's still blurry.
Very much so.
But George, I wanted to ask you, looking at the overall playoff picture, in the Eastern Conference, you still have three playoff spots open. In the Western Conference, it's all pretty much Nashville's spot to lose. What are some key matchups that you could expect to see, or that you would be excited to see in the playoffs?
Well, in the Eastern Conference, I mean, if Pittsburgh and Columbus play each other, which is kind of destined to happen once the Capitals lose out, that'll be a highly entertaining playoff series. The last time they played, it was amazing. The other one I'd be looking forward to the most is probably Toronto and Ottawa, just because you have two teams that, well, especially Toronto, who's inexperienced, but they're fun to watch. There's going to be the Leaf fans travel everywhere, and Ottawa's a place that they love to travel to, so Toronto could end up having more than just one home game, if you know what I mean. And the Capitals series will also be good. They played Boston before, and they beat them. They played Tampa before. The Capitals, right now, though, is their biggest enemy is probably themselves in the playoffs. So those are the series that I'm looking forward to most. Probably Columbus and Pittsburgh. That'll be pretty fun.
Now, one thing I do also want to bring up is that last season we had no Canadian teams in the playoffs. Right now we have three confirmed in Edmonton, Calgary, and Montreal. It's just a matter of time before Ottawa, Toronto, or even Boston's competing with Toronto for that, you know, that third spot in the division. But going from having no teams to pretty much almost having six, how great is that to have, you know, Canadian teams back in the playoffs?
It's definitely probably a good thing. Toronto has been rebuilding for the last few years, and they're the biggest market in Canada, and they have fans everywhere, you know, outside of Canada. So it's a good thing for Canada to have some teams represented in the playoffs. And Montreal's probably been the most consistent over here the last little while, and they also have fans everywhere too. Any of the original six teams that make the playoffs, it's going to have just a better atmosphere and a better, the ratings will be higher. It's definitely a good thing for these, especially Canadian teams, to be in.
Yeah, definitely, George. I've been trumpeting, I want a Battle of Alberta in the first round. Those old Edmonton-Calgary playoff series of days gone by, I think a nice rehash with the newer wave of players, McDavid's and Dreisaitl's versus the Gaudreaus and Monahans, that would be as entertaining a first-round series as any out there. Of course, you mentioned the Battle of Ontario. You can't go wrong with that as well. But, yeah, like Michael alluded to with the wild card, especially in the East, I've been saying that Boston probably the best matchup for the Capitals in the first round of all those wild card teams, with Carolina being the one I do not want to see in that spot. What would you say would be the team that you'd want to see in the first round if you had your druthers, and the team that you would do anything possible to padlock the door to let them get the message that you weren't invited in the playoff party?
Oh, boy. I think the Bruins would probably be a favorable matchup. I think the Capitals can pretty much play more of a physical game with them, and it won't be as much of a speed game. It'll probably be more of a physical battle with those two teams, and probably be a better pure matchup for the Capitals. Tampa Bay would be more, it would definitely be more of a speed game and skill game if the Caps played them, and Kucherov has been one of the most dangerous players on the ice this year. If you watch him, he's absolutely incredible. And he single-handedly probably put Tampa Bay on his back so that they're even in contention right now. And Carolina, I don't think they're going to be there yet. I just don't see... Their defense is young, and they're inexperienced, and they can turn the puck over a little bit. And Cam Ward has been a little inconsistent, and Eddie Lack has been hurt this year. I don't think Carolina is quite there yet, although I do agree that they would be a nightmare matchup for the Capitals because they always seem to play them tough, whether it's at Verizon Center or in Raleigh. So Boston's probably the best overall matchup for the Capitals, but once again, you know, the Capitals, I believe their biggest fear this year or their biggest enemy is themselves.
Now, we got a little bit of time left. Real quick, where can actually people find Nova Caps, especially if this is their first time hearing about you guys? Where can they follow you guys?
We're all over social media. We got a Facebook page at Nova Caps. We've got a Twitter account at Nova_Caps. We have an Instagram account, Nova_Caps, and you can find us online at NovaCaps.com.
Now, where can the people follow you? Because when you mentioned your Twitter, I got a follow-up question for that one.
Oh, my Twitter account is at CanucksFan56. Yes, I am a Canucks fan, so I'm a little bit more fair and balanced to the when talking about the Capitals. I don't necessarily have to play the homer card like some people think I might. So I can be a little fair and balanced when I'm watching a Capitals game.
And I have to add, this is my follow-up question. How did you become a Vancouver Canucks fan?
Honestly, they were probably the first team I started watching, and Trevor, I can really say that when I started watching them, Trevor Linden and Marcus Naslund and Brennan Morrison are probably my favorite players. All those players just were amazing to watch. They brought just a, you know, blue-collar work ethic to the game. They were fantastic. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching them. They were just the first team I was exposed to, and I was hooked ever since.
Yeah, definitely Marcus Naslund is one of those unheralded superstars. You didn't know it, but then at the end of the season, you always saw him up in the top 20 in scoring. You're like, how did that happen?
Not only that, but when you look at the back of the heydays too, like especially the 94 team that went to the finals against the Rangers, you know, Pavel Bure, Alexander McGill, and you get Kirk McLean in there. You know, that was a really good team that year that went to the finals.
I wanted them to win the Cup so bad. As much as the Rangers had that 50, the curse being lifted, to see it, Vancouver win that Cup in 94 would have been a nice, special thing to have. Real quick, George, I think I alluded to it a little before, but some of the great people that work on the NovaCap site, you have a really good staff of people there. Could you go into a couple of different features that you guys feature on the site?
We usually have a daily report, just an update from practice. We do a lot of game previews and recaps, and that includes the Hershey Bears, too. You can find my weekly, I usually do a weekly column with What's the Foos, where I take a look at all the hottest topics around the NHL, and I, especially like the controversial ones, and I'll take a goal review or suspension, I'll evaluate it, and just basically lay my viewpoint on it. So we do offer, you know, a lot of daily Caps, especially Caps coverage. We're a great news source, so we're very reliable, and we have a great team of people here. It's not just me. I encourage anybody to follow us, especially if you're a Caps fan. We're a good source of news.
And I can definitely say the Experience Hockey Talk is a serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, and we can definitely include Nova Caps fans in that as well. George, thank you so much for coming on. I hope to have you again, especially during the playoffs.
Thank you. It was great having me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a quick break. Can you see? still hear me? George, you gotta be a regular. I like his his insights. Okay. Here.
Hey, George.
Hey, thank you.
Do you love gaming? Then join Michael Lindbaum and friends at X75 Unsanctioned on Twitch. Watch and interact with Michael and friends as they play games like NHL, WWE, Star Wars, and many other games. For more information and to watch live, visit twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Attention MCW Pro Wrestling fans, are you looking for the latest from MCW Pro Wrestling? And you want to listen to The Experience, the official podcast of MCW Pro Wrestling. Join host Michael Lindbaum as he previews and reviews all of MCW Pro Wrestling's events, along with interviews with the stars of MCW Pro Wrestling. For more information, please visit facebook.com/X75Productions.
Start. We can't fall apart, 'cause this is our shot to play with all of our heart. And no one else cares, alone we must dare, to give what we've got and leave nothing to spare. Leave nothing to spare. We finally know that this is our goal, to somehow end up on the radio. Oh, 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 oh. I say that tonight they're gonna know our name. I say, let's play like the world is in our hands today. Let's play our way. Alone we must dare, to give what we've got and leave nothing to spare. Leave nothing to spare. We finally know that this is our goal, to somehow end up on the radio.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And we, of course, as always, we want to thank the band's Crimson Orchard for the song Human Chess, which is our opening theme song, and of course the band Eyeshine for the music that we use when we come back from our commercial breaks. And also, I want to bring this up real quick. I just mentioned to Bernie during the break that we had to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend is the CSA show in Chantilly. Tomorrow, at, I believe, noon, from what I was told, you have Sylvain Côté and Michael Bivanko, former Washington Capitals, going to be there taking pictures, signing autographs. I will actually be there, I believe, from 1 to 3 o'clock, so I will also be there. So if anyone sees me, feel free to come say hi and give your thoughts on how you think the show is going and what we could probably do better.
Take $10 a picture, right? You get $10 picture fee?
I charge for nothing.
April Fool's guys, he doesn't charge for pictures.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. I only charge for the autograph. That's the real April Fool's joke. But, no, but seriously, though, like I said last week, for Sylvain and Michael, show up. Show to CSA that hockey matters to you and that you want to see more people from the hockey world at the CSA shows. You guys showing up for Sylvain and Michael means that you care about the hockey and that you want to see more of it. So, CSAshows.com for more information. Tickets are available, and I hope to see people there tomorrow when I'm there from 1 to 3 p.m.
Absolutely. And it looks like you got some news and notes. I want to touch on the first thing you got on your news and notes is the Canucks signed Brock Besser to an entry-level contract. And the thing that really intrigued me on this, the night before, he played in that double overtime epic with Boston U and North Dakota, signed his entry-level deal, was on a plane, got to Minnesota, and actually scored in his first NHL game with the whole family in the skybox. And the big joke was, yeah, he played for free that night because all his money toward his first night salary went to getting all his family into the sky suite for tonight.
But what a great thing, though, for him, though, you know, signs the contract in the morning, scores the game-winning goal in his first ever NHL game later that day.
And he scored a goal in his first home game with the Canucks later this week, too, so he's definitely going to be one to watch, former first-round pick.
Yeah, definitely a University of North Dakota product, which actually, I want to bring this up real quick since we just brought University of North Dakota. Great games for the U.S. National Women's Hockey Team.
Yes.
This week, but unfortunately, the University of North Dakota eliminated their women's hockey program this week.
Just when you thought you had everything going in the right direction, then a proud university like North Dakota eliminated their women's program. It's just, you want to shake your head. I mean, I was shaking my head already with them caving to the political correct society of ours by taking away the Fighting Sioux. I mean, the Sioux jerseys are one of my favorite college jerseys. And, I mean, seeing Jonathan Toews and T.J. Oshie with the big Sioux on it, it was a sight to see back in their college days.
Yep. And then, of course, this week alone, you had Minnesota. You had
ticket punching.
You had a lot of ticket punching this week. You had Minnesota. You had Edmonton. You had Anaheim, San Jose, the New York Rangers. And then you also had Montreal, and then Calgary and St. Louis all clinching their ticket into the playoffs. Which means there's still four spots left: three in the East, one in the West. Like we mentioned when we're talking with George and Nova Caps, the only way that Nashville loses out on that last playoff spot is if they shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, so they have the Grand Ole Opry skating in the mustard-colored jerseys, not the actual Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and then, of course, Patrick Sharp had season-ending hip surgery, which ended a difficult season for him. Sharp, in 48 games, has 8 goals and 10 assists. He has dealt with 2 concussions, constant hip pain, and his father battling leukemia. Now, his father's been battling leukemia for a while, but this year it actually got worse for him. So this has been a very rough season for Patrick Sharp, and you know, obviously our hearts are out to him, especially having to deal with the battle that his father has to deal with.
Absolutely. And I mean, you just look at a couple years ago, the last Chicago Blackhawk Cup run, Patrick Sharp was such an integral part in that team. But like with every Chicago Blackhawk Cup run comes a purge afterward. And
him and Johnny Oduya were the purge, right?
Yeah, and now they got Oduya back, and just seeing where they're at with some of their young talent that's coming, we'll be able to cover that more next week when we start covering the playoffs. So
yeah. And then, of course, your three stars of the week, you had number one, Nikita Kucherov, right winger of the Tampa Bay Lightning, five goals, 2 assists, 7 points, and 3 games played, all of which were multi-point performances. Your second star was Carey Lehtinen, goalie of the Dallas Stars, who went 3-0-1 for .98 goals against average and a .959 save percentage and 1 shutout. And then the third star was Ryan Getzlaf, center of the Anaheim Ducks, 7 assists in 3 games.
Dallas fans are probably wondering, where was that Carey Lehtinen all season? Because a team that was the talk of the Western Conference last year is going to be watching the playoffs this year.
And then, of course, one of the biggest news that came out this week was, and this was actually announced in China, The Los Angeles Kings and the Vancouver Canucks will play 2 preseason games in China in September as part of the 2007 NHL China Games. The first game will take place on September 21st at the Mercedes-Benz Arena in Shanghai, and the second game will take place on September 23rd at the Hoxie Live Wuxong's Le Sports Center, which is actually where they did their announcement. And I hope I said
that was right. Impressive. That was impressive. Either you were practicing that on the drive over here, or you nailed that. That was really good. But with the China thing,
well, come on now. With how many names that we have to say that are from Sweden, Norway, Russia, Slovakia, Slovenia, and all the other countries that hockey players come from, yeah, you kind of got to be able to have a little linguistical
count. Exactly. It's a hockey anomaly that you have pronunciation values, that is for sure. But with the China thing is concerned, there's a lot of contentiousness with the IIHF right now, because they're thinking that NHL's putting so much into the China expedition that they're pretty much going to poo-poo on Korea and not send the guys in 2018, which is leaving a little bad taste in their mouth, because they don't want NHL to be picking and choosing what Olympics they go to.
Yeah, especially the fact that NBC has that contract with the Olympics and the NHL has their contract with NBC.
Exactly.
So, definitely very intriguing way of things going around with that. Per my personal opinion, I hope they don't go to the Olympics at all, because I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of shutting down the league for 2.5 to 3 weeks. That's just me. But, you know, at the same time, it is what it is.
But then you have the other elephant in the room, that the NHL doesn't go. Some players have still said they're going, most notably our captain of the Washington Capitals, Alexander Ovechkin.
Which is another thing that bothers me greatly. So, because the Caps pay him to play for them, not for Russia.
Well, let's get on some better topics, like playoff hockey. And real quick, I'm going to touch base on the AHL real quick. It's still like a NASCAR race in the AHL, in the Atlantic Division, which is the only division you have to worry about with Hershey's concern. Wilkes-Barre's 95 points. They're the only team that's pretty much free and clear in the playoff hunt, but Lehigh Valley, the Flyers organization, is at 90 points. Providence at 89. Hershey's at 87. Bridgeport's at 86. Huge week for the Bears. If they want to make the playoffs, tonight, Giants Center, 7 p.m., two-hour drive. I might actually take the drive up to see this game. Bridgeport's in town. Huge four-point game. Then tomorrow night, Lehigh Valley pays a visit to Chocolate Town, and then Hershey goes midweek to Lehigh Valley. 6 points must, at least five of these 6 points, to put themselves in prime position. They could still get the 2 seed in that division, which would give them home ice in the first round, which would be paramount.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, we talked base about this a little bit for the U.S. Women's. I want to talk a little bit more, because obviously we wanted to do NHL news and notes. Yesterday was the beginning of the World Championships. Brianna Decker scored and Gigi Marvin scored.
I'd say Shannon Sabatos kept that at 2-0 for Canada. She played on her head. I think Canada only had 8 shots on goal through 2 periods. It was a clinic by the U.S. women. They came out with a purpose last night, and it showed in their play. And the place, I think it was like 3,100 fans in there in Plymouth, Michigan last night, and it was a clinic by the U.S. women's team. You know the Canadian women's team is going to be back when it comes around medal round time, and that game will be epic on NHL Network.
Now, of course, and you just mentioned NHL Network, all of the women's national games are going to be televised on the NHL Network and live stream on NHL.com. How big is that for the women's game, knowing that, you know, when it came to the NWHL playoffs, the second semifinal game in the championship game was done on ABCNews.com live stream.
It's huge.
And then now you have the U.S. Women's National Team having the World Championship games being done on NHL.com and on the NHL Network. What does that now mean for the women's game, seeing that, you know, ABC's showing the games, the NHL.com and the NHL Network are showing the games? How big is that now?
It's huge. It expands the medium that people can see what is a burgeoning product. And I think we mentioned 2 weeks ago about, we hope that this spurns on more teams
in the NWHL.
Sorry, I had a tongue tied there for a second. I want to see more teams. And I mean, especially with next year being an Olympic year, the quality of product in the women's game is growing exponentially. You see other teams, you see the Swedes starting to make a little noise in some of these world championships, the Finns. You're going to start seeing, I know the Chinese is trying to get a nice women's team together for 2022.
Actually, on the New York Riveters this season, they had a goalie named Sojong Sing from Korea.
They're really starting to...
And actually, last season, they had Nana Fujimoto from Japan.
I mean, it's an international game for a reason. And I definitely hope that, like I said, it brings on more teams. And with the two leagues, the one in America and also the Canadian version, hopefully they can get together and really have a true championship game between the Canadian and the American. I know the travel... intricacies a little harder with the funds aren't as prevalent as they are in the bigger in the NHL.
And then, of course, I saw that you had some Frozen Four notes.
Real quick, we got the Frozen Four set for Thursday. Minnesota Duluth, Notre Dame, Denver, and Harvard are going to be your four representatives. Notre Dame is the only non-number one seed to come out as they put a little fly in the ointment in Minnesota's hope to make it for number one seeds. So definitely going to be interesting week in Chicago, and we'll have a championship game to talk about next week.
And then, of course, we also, you know, as we talked about with George as well, you know, the last remaining week that we have for the Washington Capitals, we have Columbus tomorrow at 6 p.m., Toronto on the 4th, the Rangers on the 5th, Boston on the 8th, and Florida on the 9th. Now, Florida's out of the playoff picture. They're going to play the role of spoiler on the last game of the regular season. We know that for a fact. But you have Boston and Toronto fighting for playoff position. You have Columbus fighting for where they're going to end up in the Metropolitan Division, where in the top three they're going to be. And you have the New York Rangers, who pretty much have their spot secure. They're not going to probably move up any further than they are now, unless Pittsburgh keeps sliding because they just won their first game in five last night.
Right.
So this is going to be a very interesting week. And one game I want to point out is, like, we know what we're going to get from Columbus. We know what we're going to get from the Rangers. But Toronto is one that worries me. And the reason Toronto worries me is because when we played them in November, the Caps did not play good against them. And everyone's saying, oh, throw away the tape. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just one of those bad games. Well, guess what? When we played them again in January, they did the exact same thing. And the Caps had no right winning that game, even though they did. That is a game where if the Caps don't take them super serious and really try to stunt that speed and that talent and that fiery youth that they have in Toronto, the Caps are going to need for a very long night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I know the first game they played against Toronto was on a back-to-back situation coming off of Thanksgiving. For some reason, they always play Toronto the Saturday after Thanksgiving after they play the 5 o'clock game at home the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it's almost like you can set your wrist, you can set your watch and your calendar to what the Caps do around Thanksgiving. Now, times they play at home Wednesday, home Friday, and they play at Toronto on Saturday night. But their speed element and all the rookies that have grown up so fast up in Toronto, if it wasn't for John Tortorella, I think Mike Babcock would be your coach of the year in the NHL right now. I almost say, and I've one of the big contentious spots I have with the roster is you've got to match speed with speed. And I would almost want to say, especially since they're back-to-back nights, I almost would be tempted to put a Nate Schmidt in the lineup over a Brooks Orpik just to combat the speed element of the Maple Leafs. I want six mobile defensemen in there when I'm playing a Toronto, when I'm playing a Carolina. These speed teams that are coming up, I was even saying with the Colorado game Wednesday night, if you're going to play more of a finesse game on Wednesday night against Colorado and last night against Arizona, I'd rather have a Nate Schmidt in the lineup than a Brooks Orpik just so you can buy minutes for Orpik's body coming into playoff time because you're going to need that big body in front of the net when it comes to those one-goal games.
Yep.
But also, you get Nate Schmidt's legs ready for the playoffs, and even you got to find a way to get Taylor Chorney a game or two before the playoffs start, because you're going to need every man available when it comes to playoff time, especially with the way Metro is lining up.
Do you think if the Caps are pretty secure, you know, if, say the Caps do well enough in those first four games, and they lock up the first spot, no questions asked, in the Metropolitan Division, do you see Florida game being the game where you probably rest a couple guys, get a Taylor Chorney in there, get Nate Schmidt in there, really get their legs going, especially the fact that, you know, like I said, Florida's out of it, but if you have that spot, you know, that's a chance to get some of those, like a Brooks Orpik rested, you know, get a guy like Taylor Chorney in the lineup.
Well, you've got two sets of back-to-back games coming up, Michael. If they have everything, if they can get the one seed salted away by the Toronto game, I could see, if they play Orpik against Toronto, I could see Schmidt and or Chorney in the lineup against the Rangers on that Wednesday night. And then definitely with the back-to-back, Florida's going to be like the Anaheim Blight game last year where it's just, all right, we just got to get through 60 minutes unscathed and unhurt. It doesn't matter what the result of the game is. Our focus is going to be on Wednesday or Thursday night. I would think with a night game on Sunday, the Caps won't start the playoffs until the 13th, but I'm not going to be setting that in stone with the way the NHL likes to schedule, making sure that the marquee matchups start the playoffs off with a bang.
But when we come in Saturday, even though the Caps will have to play the Bruins on Saturday, we're probably going to be doing our playoff preview, because that is what we're going to be looking at in the next week. Even if the Caps don't start till Thursday, we're still probably going to do something.
Yeah. The only thing that I see next Saturday when we come in here, they'll have any doubt will be that wild card game, the team that's going to play the Caps in the first round, and then who's playing who in the Pacific. I mean, you look at the schedule this week, Anaheim and Edmonton tonight at 10 o'clock out at Rogers Place. You have Anaheim plays home and home with Calgary. That's still not decided. I mean, you could have Anaheim, San Jose in the first round, you could have Edmonton and Calgary in the first round. I mean, it's going to be a wild ride out west.
Let's put it like this. In the Pacific Division, Anaheim has 96 points, Edmonton has 95, San Jose has 93, and Calgary has 92. It's literally between 1 to 4 points differential in that division for just the first spot.
Yep, and Anaheim and Edmonton have one less game played, and they're playing that tonight against each other.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we look at that it's very intriguing. Like I said, I'm still worried about Toronto, but one thing I want to touch base on, because we have a minute or two to do it, Tortorella of Columbus. Last season he came in, changed the culture. We really saw a glimpse of it at the end of the season when Columbus went on his tear. They didn't start off as hot this season, but they were able to get that win within the first 10 games, which was able to build their confidence faster. How much of a difference do you think John Tortorella has made on this Columbus Blue Jackets team this year?
There's two big things that has made Columbus back to where a lot of teams thought they were going to be at the beginning of last year. John Tortorella bringing in that extra layer of being there, winning a Stanley Cup with Tampa Bay back in the day, being involved in the United States program as well, but also the health of the Blue Jackets. They had over 500 man games lost to injury a couple years ago, when the first time they thought Columbus was going to rise out of the ashes after they made the playoffs and had that series you mentioned about with the Penguins. Then Bobrovsky, if Bob, that team is one green pool away from being swept out of the playoffs. If Bobrovsky gets hurt in any sort of way, he should get some serious Hart Trophy nomination. I mean, he's going to win the Vezina. As much as I'd like to see Braden win the Vezina, it's Bob's to lose right now. I could see him getting some Hart Trophy love, too. McDavid's probably going to win the Hart Trophy, but I can see Bobrovsky, because he's the biggest integral factor of that team and where they go in the playoffs. I mean, he's been out of this world. He's been back to being the Bob that won the Vezina a couple of years ago.
Now, I mean, and one thing, and I actually explained this to my cousin, because my cousin lives out in Columbus, and he was saying that he was really surprised that the Columbus Blue Jackets are where they are right now. And I told him, no, this is where they actually belong. This is where they should have been two seasons ago if it wasn't for all those injuries. This is where they should have been last season if it wasn't for, you know, the way they started the season and then having to change how the culture was in that locker room. Because let's also bring up the fact, when they traded away Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones, I think they got rid of the cancer and brought in a great guy into that lineup.
And they needed another blue line, a blue chipper on the blue line. Now you have Seth Jones, you have Zach Werenski. A lot of people still forget about Ryan Murray. Ryan Murray, if he could stay healthy, was a former top five pick.
I think he was like number two or three.
And you got you have the tons of talent. You have the kid Dubois they picked in the draft this year. He's going to be coming in here too. And another thing, and I'll attribute back to when the Caps got on the rise with the Rocky Ritter, it was the Hershey Bear movement that supplemented the Ovechkins and Backstroms. Last year, Lake Erie, now the Cleveland Monsters, went on a unbelievable run in the AHL playoffs. They swept the Bears in the Calder Cup final. They pretty much, I think they lost maybe once or twice the whole playoff. Zach Werenski came right in from the University of Michigan and made an integral part in that place. You have Werenski, Bjorkstad, Anderson. They have integrated some of those guys into this lineup and infused the youth to go along with the Foligno's and Dubinsky's that they have there. And then you have a guy like Cam Atkinson, who's taking his game to another level as well.
And then, of course, one last note real quick. It was announced that probably on June 18th, the protected and the available list for the expansion draft will be publicly released.
We're going to have to see if we can do an expansion draft live special for that one.
That will be the knowing who will be available. I mean, so a lot of these teams you already know who's going to be protected because of no move clauses alone. But knowing who's available, that's going to be very interesting.
Well, most of the teams are going to do the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie, but there's going to be a couple teams who have 4 very quality defensemen that might opt for the 8 players and a goalie, but that's definitely something that we are going to...
And some teams like Chicago ain't going to have a choice on what they do because of no move clauses.
Yep.
But real quick, Bernie, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Well, we're still working on getting a Twitter going. Definitely think the Twitterverse will get a real deal mentality very soon, and that is definitely not an April Fool's joke.
All right, and then of course you can follow me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and of course you can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk, and on Twitter at @experiencehockey. And for those of you who are watching on Facebook Live and they see our logo in the background for the show, yeah, we're actually working on getting a brand new one being made right now, which is really cool. And we might actually get them on jerseys.
That could be quite good. And as always, like to thank Lionel Green and WBGR for giving the experience the chance to branch out to all of you fine folks out there in radio, Facebook Live land, and other lands that we are slowly but surely breaking barriers on.
And then, of course, as always, we want to thank George from Nova Caps for coming on. We'll definitely have him on again, especially during the playoffs. And like I said, I will be at the CSA show tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Show up. Don't show up for me. Show up for Sylvain Cote, Michael Pavanka. Show up for those guys. Let's show them that hockey matters to us and that we want more hockey guys at the CSA shows. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll be back next Saturday, and we'll see you on the ice.
Attention.
I almost forgot the freaking catchphrase.
I was like, we're gonna see you next week. I'm like, I've already been sleeping. It's like, you're gonna say this, you're gonna say we're gonna see you on the other.
10 hockey fans, you want serious hockey talk? Then listen to the Experience Hockey Talk on the WBGR Sports Network. Join hosts Michael Lindenbaum and Bernie Diehl as they review the past week for the Washington Capitals, NHL, and NWHL. You can listen to the Experience Hockey Talk at 11 a.m. every Saturday at the WBGRSports.com and on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. For more information, visit facebook.com/experience. Hockey Talk.